Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this opportunity, and we're thankful for this blessed day, not only a day of rest, a Sabbath day where we can be refreshed around the washing of the water by thy word, but also the first day of this brand new year that you have given us. Lord, to that end, we know what lies before us. We know that thou hast built and crafted a better place for those that love thee. And to that end, Lord, we trust in thee, we have the faith in thee, and we trust, Lord, that as we open thy word, thy precious word, that we would be fortified and reinforced with that knowledge of the truth that is in Jesus Christ, that by him all things consist and all things were made for him. And through him, we have access to thy Father heart and can be reconciled back to thee, even though we are not perfect before thee. But we are perfect before thee through Jesus, and for that we are ever thankful. It is through him that we have this salvation that goes beyond price, beyond description, beyond value. And so accept our prayer of thanksgiving, Lord, for this beautiful gift that you have given us, this beautiful day that you have given us, and the salvation that we have through Christ Jesus, your Son, and our Redeemer. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. First day of the new year. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to read a very, very short verse, only one. And in fact, for those who are note-taking and who are responsible for sending out the email notices, and everybody likes to have a title for a sermon. So for this afternoon, if I may, the title of this sermonette would be Reflective Perspective. And what's unusual is that that title is going to be longer than the verse I'm going to read, which is found in Luke 17, verse 32, which simply says, remember Lot's wife. Kind of seems inappropriate to read that verse here on the first day of the year. And in fact, I'll tell you in a little bit that it almost seems paradoxical. This is the time of year when we look back at perhaps taking an inventory of what's happened, and of course, maybe even setting goals for the future that God has in store for us, knowing and understanding, as Brother Mitch had read earlier this morning, we need to redeem that time because we don't know how long that time will be. God could call us home this very minute, this very day, this very month, maybe a couple years from now. So it is good to look back and forward. And in fact, Scripture has quite a few verses that talk about looking back and also looking forward. In fact, this morning's Bible class was all about looking forward. And in fact, in Matthew 24 there, Jesus, in response to the question that the disciples asked, when will the end times be? When will the end of this world be? And what are the signs of your coming? And Jesus laid it out for them very, very plainly, right? There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be deceivers that are claimed that I am the Christ. There's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences and other things. But one verse that really stood out to me, by the way, as God and through Jesus, as Jesus gives us this glimpse of what to look forward to in the future, and not a lot of it was pretty that Jesus was describing, there's one verse that really stood out from, I think it's verse 6 in that 24th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus says, basically, I'm telling you these things so that when you see them, you are not troubled in heart. Don't be troubled when you see these terrible things happening. And I would say in these past 2 years of COVID-ridden turmoil, we've seen a lot. And we've seen how quickly the world can spiral downward. And perhaps even now we're still dealing with the aftermath and the consequences of this mentality that a lot of people have, which is, I'm just going to look out for me. And who cares about everybody else? So it is good to look back and to look forward. I'm going to read a couple of scripture verses, one of which I already read, by the way. And it almost, the verse that I read, remember Lot's wife, these are Jesus' words, right? If you know the account of Lot and his wife and where they were at the time in terms of having pitched their tents towards Sodom, maybe a few years before this, Jesus was explaining this, and then now they're actually in Sodom. And an angel come, remember the angels that are coming to Abraham, and God spoke to Abraham through the angels, helping them to understand what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. Basically a destructive end, very quick end. And there was one bit of exhortation that was heard, and that was, whatever you do, don't look back. And so if you know that account, it almost this verse almost seems paradoxical in the sense that when Jesus is saying, remember Lot's wife, you know, Lot and his family were told not to remember the things that were behind. Don't look back. Don't set your heart back there. And it's almost like Jesus is saying, remember to not remember. Well, that's not what he is saying at all, because we know from the context of that scripture there where he explains, it's not the looking back, it's the anchoring of the soul and heart on what was back there, right? It's like whoever's trying to save their life is going to lose it, and whoever is going to lose their life will save it. And that was the actual principle behind that verse there in verse 32 of chapter 17 in Luke. Remember Lot's wife. That was the principle that Jesus wanted to convey to his disciples. It's okay to look back. In fact, it's important for us to look back because it helps us, I guess, kind of in my own thinking here, it helps me, and I think it helps us all to understand and solidify our identity as we see ourselves progressing through time. You know, if you talk to people, and even on the internet, there's quite a bit of debate about what you should be focusing on when you look backward. And some people would say, don't look at the negative stuff. I don't think that's right. I would like to suggest that it's important to look both at the good things that have happened, but at the not so good things too. And in fact, that scripture verse that we just read is a good example where Jesus says, you know the account of Lot. You know the account of wife, how she looked, his wife, how she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Remember those things. Remember even the not so good things. Why is that? Because as we look back and we understand what choices we make, some have been good and some have been bad. So when we understand the consequential impact of our choice making, when we see those same conditions or circumstances that are similar in the future, whatever the future holds for us, when we see that fork in the road, where we see that branching point where we need to make a decision, looking at the past can help us make the right choice in the future. So it's good to look in arrears, look at what lay behind, if you will, because it helps us to manage or navigate what's going to happen in the future. But we need to also look in the future then too. So I have got a couple of verses. Luke 17:32 came to mind. Remember Lot's wife. That's not something that's not a cheerful memory. Wouldn't be cheerful for Lot. It wouldn't be cheerful for Abraham. Wouldn't be cheerful for us if we remember some of the things that have happened maybe this past year or two, which have been really hard years for some of us. But we need to remember them, so that those things can give us to perspective to help us manage future choices and decision making. By the way, another verse comes to mind, Jesus again, Matthew 16. There's a few verses there where Jesus was basically talking to his disciples and he goes, you know what, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And the disciples started murmuring among themselves and they're saying, what? Maybe, because it's not, if we don't have any bread, wow, we better go get some bread. That's what Jesus is talking about, right? And when Jesus understood what their murmurings were, he said, how is it that you don't understand? Don't you remember the five loaves and the two fishes that fed 5,000 plus? or the 7 loaves and the few fishes that fed 4,000 plus. Don't you remember that? So Jesus is calling them to remember the things that are good. And somehow, in human nature as it is, we tend to forget both the good and the bad. So it's good to look back. It's good to look even forward. And we'll talk about some verses that look forward in a second. I just wanted to point out that there's a difference between looking back and remembering and anchoring your heart and soul there, dwelling in the past, so to speak. That's something that's not scriptural. And we'll read a few verses there too. It is good to reflect, like I said, on both the past, the good and the not so good. I gave you a couple examples of the verses there. Someone, and I don't know how they ever did this. I don't know how they measure these things. But you can read this on the internet. You can look it up. Some say and have estimated that every single one of us makes on the average around 35,000 choices per day. Most of them would be subconscious, semi-conscious, maybe unconscious. But just think about that, 35,000 choices per day. That's one every couple seconds, just about. And when you think about going along the road of life and the road branches and you need to make that decision, you're hitting one of those every couple seconds. And so looking back at the choices that you've made, the consequential impact, whether it be good or bad, can help you navigate in the future, as I said before, when you see these similar circumstances and conditions, the way God lays out our future for each one of us. But don't dwell there. Don't dwell in the past. And a couple verses here come to mind. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, says something like this: "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these?" What is the cause that the former days were better than these? And the preacher there says, it's not wise. You're not inquiring wisely concerning this. That's what the verse says. Don't dwell on that past. Don't wish you were back there, right? Because our head needs to be forward to the better kingdom that God has prepared for those that love him. There's another verse in Luke 9:62. Jesus simply says, when he's asking people to follow him, and he's being met with a lot of excuses, one of the men says, I will follow you, but first let me bid farewell to those that are in my home. And that sounds like a reasonable request, but I think it was actually after that specific excuse that Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't dwell in the past. Those things in the past are inconsequential. Don't set your heart on them. We need to look forward. And then finally, and there's plenty of other scripture verses, loved ones, but Philippians 3:13, where the Apostle Paul is basically encouraging the brethren, and he says, I want to apprehend the same thing that I was apprehended for of Christ, right? And he says, not that I have apprehended already, but I want you to know this, that I count myself not to have apprehended, but this I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that is, forsaking those things, not putting out of remembrance. We need to remember certain things in the past, as we just mentioned, but don't dwell there. Forsake those. Forsaking the things that are in the past and reaching forward for the things that are forward, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's the picture of the Apostle Paul not forgetting the past, knowing that some things that he did was of a negative consequential impact, not only to himself, but to the church of God, using those things to press on forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful picture, right? So, yes, we can reflect in the past. That's very important. We certainly is very, very important, like we read in Matthew 24 this morning in Bible class about what's coming in the future. And as we see some of this doom and gloom, and Jesus predicted, prophesied, that it will come to pass, and it's coming to pass even now, don't be troubled. remember that he told us these things. So looking back helps us to give us a reflective perspective on managing and navigating future. That's kind of the sort of the concept that I was thinking about as I was meditating for this afternoon. But if we want to talk about the ultimate perspective, and I'm really appreciative that Brother Mitch brought so many comments and so many sentences out, I can't even think of most of them right now. But one thing he mentioned was he was starting to quote or kind of paraphrased Hebrews 12, right? Where right after Hebrews 11, which is that Hall of Fame of Faith chapter where the writer, the author, recounts so many faithful, some who were victorious, some who were not in this life, but all were victorious because they entered into the kingdom of God. They passed that threshold because of their faith. Then he says in verse 12, therefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience. And Brother Mitch used the word pace two or three times. Let us run with that same mentality of pace, the race that is set before us. Looking not behind, not before, not ahead, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's our ultimate perspective. Looking back can give us a reflective perspective to help navigate the future, whatever God places in our path. But we get the ultimate perspective by looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm reminded, as I was doing some house cleaning this past week, I came across an old poem that Sister Priscilla gave me, and I'm sure she gave copies of these to many of us, but I have many of them. And I came across one that seems so very appropriate. It's not going to sound like it's appropriate. It's going to sound like it contradicts everything I just said. But I like the poem because at the end, it reinforces where our ultimate perspective comes from, and that is from Jesus. I actually looked this up on the internet because Sister Priscilla had it down as an anonymous poem under a different title. The actual title is I Look Not Back. So I'm telling you, that's what the title is. It doesn't conflict with what we were talking about. Is yes, we do need to look back. We need to remember certain things to help us navigate the future. But listen to the end result of this poem. It's actually part of a hymn, and to give credit, it was by Annie Johnson Flint. I Look Not Back, and she writes this. She says, I look not back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning, the regrets. I leave them all with him who blots the record and graciously forgives and then forgets. And Brother Mitch talked about that several times in his morning message. I look not forward. God sees all the future, the road that short or long will lead me home. And he will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. I look not around me, then would fears assail me. So wild the tumult of earth's restless seas, so dark the world, so filled with woe and evil, so vain the hope of comfort and of ease. I look not inward, that would make me wretched, for I have naught on which to stay my trust. Nothing I see save failures and shortcomings and weak endeavors crumbling into dust. But I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. That's perfect perspective. That's perfect peace. As it says in Isaiah, those who have perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. And by the way, if you would read the Hebrew there, it's interesting. It doesn't say perfect peace in Hebrew. It says, thou shalt have him in peace, peace. Two words. Usually in Hebrew, when it's repeated like that, it's perfect or complete, if you will. There's a few instances where words are repeated and repeated three times, like holy, holy, holy. That is the ultimate perfection. But that's where we get our ultimate perspective, loved ones, is it not? By looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So as you face this new year, and maybe we're going through some trial, some challenge, is it not good to think back on how God saw us through similar challenges, similar trials, similar temptations? Or maybe we think back and we're like, God didn't really help me right away, but it took a while. Maybe it took months, or maybe it took years, but God did ultimately deliver. We need to look back on those things and reinforce our memory, because we do forget, loved ones. I'm at an age where I forget very easily. But we need to raise these Ebenezers in our mind to help us remember this is how God delivered us through these very difficult things. Difficult things that Jesus said we're going to be going through. If we think this is difficult, loved ones, this is nothing compared to what Jesus predicted is going to happen, that he prophesied, that brother will bring up brother to the law and betray one another, mother against her daughter and daughter-in-law, and family member against family member, and they will take us to court and we'll be persecuted. It's hard to believe that that will happen here in this country. But Jesus said it would happen. It's already happening in other parts of the world. When we think about these things and we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, can we be joyful? Because though there are troublous times ahead, God will deliver. Maybe in a way that we don't realize, but he will deliver. And I have the faith that he will deliver. And we will experience, if not in this life, ultimate joy and shalom, shalom, perfect peace. May God bless his word to me first and to all, and the reading of his word to our hearts.